Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Adcock Ingram absolutely deserves a mention this week. With revenue growth of just 8%, the dividend jumped 20%. Now, that tells you rather a lot about cost management in the company, particularly when gross margins are under pressure as production costs tend to rise by far more than the single exit price increase granted by the regulator. That will be the case in 2023 as well, with the single exit price for medicine increasing by just 3.28%. It would be lovely if Nursa took the same approach with Eskom, wouldn't it? Adcock Ingram has warned that gross margin compression is almost unavoidable, so the impressive performance in managing costs in the business in the interim period will need to continue. The share price is up nearly 10% this year as the market latched onto the strong results. There's an old joke in the markets about diversification or diversification. Diversification does not always deliver results, unfortunately, and at Cup Industrial Holdings, it seems like half the business is usually doing well and the other half is sometimes on fire. All that varies really is which divisions belong in each of those categories, and that's because they really aren't related to each other. Cup has highly diversified operations. It tells you a lot about how difficult the operating environment is that practically all of them are doing badly at the moment from market conditions. The share price is now at around the 52-week low, and a break lower than this would likely take it from the current level around 3.40 to possibly the mid 2 rands. It really needs to hold at these levels for investors, and that would require the market to believe that a division like Safripol can recover after a 26% decline in that business. At group level, revenue was up by 12% in the 6 months to December, which sounds great, right? But that doesn't help you much when operating profit is down 8%. Higher finance costs drove a decrease in headline earnings per share of 17% year on year. And even the cash flow story is ugly, with cash from operations down by 96% as the business sucked up working capital. This share price looks very vulnerable at the moment. Another company where the balance sheet has come sharply into focus is Motus. The income statement looks magnificent, with revenue up 14% and EBITDA up 25% with margin expansion. But below that, the impact of higher debt is certainly being felt, as profit attributable to shareholders was only up 9%. Net debt to equity has jumped from 30% to 75%, and net debt to EBITDA is up from 0.9 times to 1.6 times. Aside from strategic acquisitions, the balance sheet was also needed to support higher levels of working capital, and this put more pressure on debt. I must also highlight that 9% of bank debt is at fixed rates and the rest is floating, which is something to certainly keep an eye on when most signs in the market suggest that we are not at the end of the global interest rate hiking cycle. When EBITDA is up 25% and the dividend is only up by 9%, you know there are financial leverage pressures in the system. The share price is now flat for the year, having tanked last week in the aftermath of this result and perhaps the grey listing news as well. Incredibly, Motus and CMH now have almost identical year-to-date share price performance, with CMH having traded sideways basically the entire year, and Motus on a roller coaster ride, where it was nearly 20% up at one point. This is literally the tortoise and the hare thus far this year. Moving on to food producers, Tiger Brands gives us great insights into that sector, particularly when it comes to branded goods rather than private label, and more on that later. In the 4 months to January, Tiger Brands increased its revenue by 17%. Now, 18% of that was thanks to price increases, and there was a 1% drop in volume. So that's how we get to 17%. And that shows you how South Africans are being forced to absorb food inflation at the moment that is extremely high, and they are unable to cut staple food items. Load shedding is a major challenge for everyone right now, and that is going to come through in food prices as well, because every day of level 6 costs Tiger Brands 1.5 million rand in incremental costs, and they haven't even really recovered that yet. That inflation is still coming. The company reckons that 120 million rand in capex will be needed to cope with levels 6 to 8. The really scary thing is that much of that spend actually needs to go into water storage capacity, because those levels have a major impact on the municipal water supply. To give you another data point on what load shedding is doing to food costs and the industry in general, Quantum Foods is now a loss-making company. In the 4 months ended January, egg selling prices increased by just 3.9% and feed costs were 25.7% higher. So that's a disaster for the industry even before we take into account load shedding. and the egg business is expected to report significant losses in the 6 months ending March. But across the rest of the business, a 42% increase in energy costs is also a huge problem. So Quantum's profitability for this period is gone. The good news is that the balance sheet is healthy at least, so Quantum can weather the storm for now. In another food-themed update, Libstar released results, and this is where I refer you back to the Tiger Brands section earlier in the show where we talked about branded goods versus private label. You see, Libstar just doesn't have the pricing power that Tiger Brands does. In the year ended December, admittedly a different period to this latest Tiger Brands announcement, revenue was up 10.7% at Libstar, but gross profit was only 3.9% higher, with gross margin compression telling us that expenses could not be passed through to retailers. Libstar does quite a lot of private label work for retailers, with those retailers more than happy to put the squeeze on their manufacturers like Libstar. Another major issue for gross margin was, and I'm sure you guessed it, load shedding. Even though Libstar kept operating costs to a 6.5% increase, normalized EBITDA fell because of the pressure on gross margin. This really wasn't a happy year for Libstar, as you may also remember the fire at Denny Mushrooms. Although the impairment from that fire doesn't directly affect the HEPS line, HEPS is down between 8.6% and 13.6%. Libstar's share price is slightly up this year, surprisingly, trailing the likes of Tiger Brands, which is up around 4.7% at the time of recording. There's another way to play the food game if that's the exposure you want, and this one involves restaurants and hospitality rather than retailers and baked beans. At Bidcorp, only 5% of group revenue is generated in South Africa. This is a proper rand hedge, giving investors access to a brilliant and truly global food service business. Around 42% of revenue is from hotels and restaurants, and another 12% is from fast food customers. The rest is from butcheries, caterers, healthcare providers, and other clients. So this is a lot more than just a restaurant business, as the restaurant side is really just over half of what's going on here. In the 6 months ended December, revenue was up 28.1% and HEPS was up by a fantastic 45.5%. Cash from operations was up 35.6%. Even though Bidcorp tends to trade at quite a rich valuation, the share price is up 15.5% this year and nearly 24% over 12 months. A powerful performance from a business model that I really like. I end with City Lodge, which has been getting a lot of attention in the market. After a light touch update earlier in the week, the details were confirmed later in the week by the release of interim earnings. Now, for me, the big story here is that occupancy levels have been achieved through super aggressive pricing, and that probably isn't sustainable. Second quarter occupancies ran ahead of 2019, but average room rates were only 1% higher than in 2019. Food and beverage revenue is now 16% of total revenue, which is a handy underpin and a big strategic shift made by the business, which I think was a good one. But the reality is that interim HEPS of 14 cents, if we exclude the COVID claim, which we must do, is not enough to justify the current share price. To give the bulls on City Lodge something to smile about at least, there's a dividend of 5 cents per share that few saw coming. The share price is trading at around R4.35 at time of recording, and the replacement cost based on the insured values of the hotels works out to R10.60 per share. Now, some investors are just fixating on that number, of course, whereas I personally would look at the earnings. This is my approach simply because I don't understand why you would pay to rebuild something if you know it can't give you a proper return. So earnings matter more. The share price has lost 13.8% this year, so I think it's not just me who looks at it this way. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.